Today we're going to continue our study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. By noteworthy, I mean verses that stand out. Last time we were in the book of Isaiah, we're going to continue there. I want us to turn to Isaiah chapter 26 in verse number 3. The Word of God says this: Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. What I want to say about this verse is this is a great memory verse, especially for those of us who have a tendency to worry a lot. There's some very good verses in the Bible that talks about how we shouldn't worry and we should trust in the Lord. Amen. And this is one of them. And the promise here is that God will keep you and me in perfect peace, but there's some conditions: whose mind is stayed on thee. We need to keep our hearts and our minds stayed on the Lord at all times. And we need to trust in him. Amen. He'll give us perfect peace if our minds are stayed on thee, focused on thee, on the Lord, and because he trusteth in thee. So our focus and trust needs to be on the Lord. If you and I are to have perfect peace, as Philippians in chapter 4 talks about, perfect peace that passeth all understanding in this world of turmoil and trouble, amen. Now let's drop down to verses 19 to 21 in Isaiah chapter 26. The Word of God has this to say: Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. The verses we just read here is a good Old Testament reference on the first resurrection. Amen. Now let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 8 through 11, the Word of God has this to say: Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, See not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. See, what these verses are telling us, what the Word of God says, is people want smooth things, not the truth. In fact, the Bible says in the end times it would come preachers who would tickle the ears of the hearer. Amen. People want to hear. People, when they go to church, want to feel good when they leave. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear preaching about sin. Amen. They want to hear about how great they are and marvelous they are, and God loves them, and everything is fine, and you can live any way you want to live. They want to hear smooth things, things that don't upset them, but things that won't help them grow in the things of the Lord. Amen. Let's also, in conjunction with these verses, turn over to the book of Romans. If we go to Romans, I want us to turn to chapter 16 in the book of Romans. And when we get to chapter 16, let's look at verses 17 and 18. The Word of God says this. Now I beseech you, brethren. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fierce speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, a lot of times, these positive thinking preachers, as I call them, amen, say these smooth things. Don't give you the truth, because when it talks about their own belly, they deceive the people. They figure if I preach good things and tell people how great, then the offerings will keep coming in. Because people want to hear good things about themselves and how wonderful they are, and not about how they need to live for the Lord, that they're sinners, that the flesh is unsaved and wicked and so forth and so on. Amen? Now let's turn to Isaiah chapter 31. Notice with me verse 5. Isaiah 31, verse 5. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it. Passing over, he will preserve it. Now, this verse saw its fulfillment, at least partial fulfillment, during World War I, when General Allenby flew over Jerusalem and scared the daylights out of the Turks, who had occupied the city for 7 centuries. Being ancient Muslims who had never seen an airplane, they fled the city without a shot being fired. The British took control of Jerusalem, and eventually the Jews would occupy the city in their sovereign state. And we saw that come about in 1948, amen, when the state of Israel, amen, the state of Israel was created. Now, look with me in Isaiah chapter 32, in verse number 17, Isaiah 32, verse 17, the Word of God has this to say. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. What we want to see, what stands out with this verse is this. It tells us, the Word of God tells us, peace, quietness, and assurance come after righteousness has been embraced, which means it won't come until Jesus comes. Amen to that. Now, Isaiah chapter 35 and verse number 10, the Word of God has this to say, and the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow, and sighing shall flee away. What we want to see here is this. The Word of God tells us here in Isaiah 35:10, Israel's best days are yet to come. We see that when the Lord returns the second time and destroys the enemy of Israel. Amen. Then Israel will no longer be the tail, but the head of all the nations. And amen to that. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says this. Comfort ye, Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The verses here are telling us, Israel will be saved, just as saved as any blood-bought saint of God today. Amen. And in conjunction with this verse, I want us to look at chapter 11 of the book of Romans, chapter 11, and let's look at verse number 26. The word of God tells us, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Jacob, another name for Israel. Amen. Alrighty. Now let's turn and look at Isaiah. We're still in Isaiah, chapter 40. I want us to look at verse number 8 of Isaiah 40. The word of God has this in Isaiah 40, verse 8. We read, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7 isn't God's only promise of scripture preservation, as we read here in Isaiah 40, verse 8, which is a verse on scripture preservation. So let's turn to Psalm 12 for a moment, Psalm number 12, and look at verses 6 and 7. We read this, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So Isaiah 40, verse 8, here in Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, we have God's promise of scripture preservation. And then in 1 Peter, we need to turn to 1 Peter for a moment. And in 1 Peter, let's go to 1 Peter. In verse, chapter number 1, verse 24, we see Isaiah 40, verse 8 that we just read is also here, is quoted in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, which says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. And then verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So again, we see some wonderful verses on God's promise here of preservation. Amen, is it not? Isaiah 40, verse 8, Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7, and then 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 to 25. All right, we're still in Isaiah chapter 40 here. And now we want to turn and first look at verse 15 and then verse 17. The word of God says this, behold the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And then verse 17 of Isaiah 40, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Wow. So much for the great United Nations. Amen to that? That's what God thinks of the nations. Vanity, nothing. There's a drop in the bucket. is counted as small dust. Amen. Now, we want us to look at Zephaniah in conjunction with that. I want us to turn to Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3. And when we get to Zephaniah chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 8 and 9. The word of God says this: "Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to pray. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent." And of course, the context is Christ's second coming, when he will come, gather the nations, and to destroy the enemies of Israel. Now, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 40 with me. And in Isaiah chapter 40, let's look at verse 22. Notice what it says here. "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in." Our verse tells us, what stands out about this verse is this: over 700 years before Christ, it was known that the earth was round. Columbus, those in Columbus Day thought it was flat, that you'd fall off the edge. All they had to do is look at the Word of God, and they would have seen that the world was round. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Again, another great memory verse that we should all memorize on trusting God. We need to, you know, God is not in a hurry sometimes, and so we need to wait on him. We need to be patient, and we need to remember that God's timing is always right. And if we wait upon him, we're told that he will renew our strength. He will strengthen us, will he not? And that we will mount up as eagles, with wings as eagles, and we shall run and not be weary, and we shall walk and not faint. See, why? Why shall we run and not be weary? And why shall we walk and not be faint? Why? Because we've waited on the Lord. We've been patient. And he's given us his strength. See? And when we have God's strength and God's power, then we won't grow weary. We can run, amen, and not grow weary, and walk and not faint. And we can serve God, amen, the way he wants us to serve him, in his power and in his strength, amen. Alrighty, Isaiah, let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 42 with me, verses 6 and 7. We read this, Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7. "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison's house." So what we want to see about these verses is this. This passage is obviously refers to Jesus. Amen. It's a reference to Luke chapter 2. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 with me. And notice what it says in verse 32 of Luke 2. The Word of God says, "A light to lighten the Gentiles in the glory of thy people Israel." So Jesus is a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory. He's the glory of his people, Israel. Now, Isaiah 42, in verse 21, we read this. The Lord is well pleased. For his righteousness' sake, he will magnify the Lord and make it honorable. The verse here refers to Christ, God's faithful servant. The expression well pleased, amen, as we see it in Isaiah 42, verse 21, is spoken from heaven by the Father, first in Matthew chapter 3. Notice Matthew chapter 3 with me, in verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That was at the time of when John the Baptist baptized Jesus. And then also, look with me in Matthew chapter 17. When we get to Matthew 17, let's look at verse number 5 of Matthew 17. The Word of God says, and this, of course, is at the transfiguration where Jesus had Peter, James, and John up to the mountain. And he was transfigured before them. And there appeared under the three apostles, Moses and Elias, talking with Jesus. And then in verse 5 of Matthew 17, and while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Alrighty, Isaiah chapter 43, in verse number 2, the Word of God says this, when you passeth through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Much like Psalm 91, this is a great promise on God's protection. For Israel doctrinally, and for any believer practically. Amen. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 11, the Word of God says, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Since Jesus Christ is the Savior, the verse is saying that Jesus is God. Amen. Jesus is God. I want us to look at the book of Titus for one moment. Titus, if you would. Titus chapter 2, verse number 13, the Word of God says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We see that Jesus Christ is the Savior, amen, and Jesus Christ is Almighty God, amen. Now, let's look at verse 25 of Isaiah chapter 43. He says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out my transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. So what we want to see here, our verse is telling us, the reason it stands out is, so the day is coming when Israel's sins will be blotted out. Amen. Looking in Isaiah 44, verse 22, we read, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Speaking of Israel in the context. And then there in the book of Acts, chapter number 3, I want us to turn to Acts 3, verse 19. In Acts 3, verse 19, the Word of God has this to say. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Here it's referring to Israel. when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The time of the refreshing is a reference to the millennium. All right, Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 7. Isaiah 45, 7, we read this. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. So we see here our verse is telling us, it stands out because it's telling us that ultimately God is the author of everything, be it directly or indirectly. Let's look at some other verses in conjunction with this. I want us to first turn to the book of Job with me. In Job chapter 2, verse 10, we read this. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips? And of course, here Job was answering his wife that he should curse God and die. And then also, notice Ezekiel chapter 14 with me, the book of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 14, I want us to look at chapter 14 of Ezekiel, and I want us to look at verse number 9. Ezekiel 14, 9, the word of God says, and if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived the prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people, Israel. And then one last, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in chapter 2, we want to look at verse number 11. It says, and for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, and they shall believe a lie. So the verses we've looked at, Isaiah 45, verse 7, Job chapter 2, verse 10, Ezekiel 14, 9, 2 Thessalonians 2, 11, shows us that ultimately God is the author of everything, be it directly or indirectly. Amen. And now in verse chapter 45 of Isaiah, verse 22, he says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. We're told that young Charles Spurgeon was saved after hearing a layman speak on this verse in an old primitive Methodist church in London. Amen. Alrighty, Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, beginning in verse 5. It says, the Lord God hath opened mine ears, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the ears. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together, who is mine adversary. Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as garment, and the moth shall eat them up. What we want to see about this passage here is, here we have an up-close view of Christ combating Satan in spiritual warfare at Calvary. Well, we're just about run out of time today. I hope you'll join me next time as we continue our study in noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible.